Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Like to follow along. I'm going to be in Revelations chapter 14. Revelations chapter 14. Might as well begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to go to verse 7. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. And with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. And give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And I'm going to stop right there. Okay. I know from that reading, some people may be thinking I'm going to talk about future events. I'm not. There's a couple of things I can tell you here, but I'm not going into future events. I can tell you about this 144,000 that are written here. They are not the Jehovah Witnesses. Okay? Just forget about that stupidity. Okay? That's one thing. Okay? Am I sure? Yes. You know? The other thing I can tell you about these people is they are sinners saved by grace. Now, how can I tell you that? Am I sure? Of course I'm sure. I wouldn't have said it if I wasn't sure. In verse 3, they sung a new song before the throne, right? No one could learn that song but the 144,000, what's it say? Which were redeemed from the earth. And then in verse 4, these were redeemed from among men. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody but sinners needs to be redeemed. And no one but sinners is going to be redeemed. And that redemption is by the blood of the Lamb. Okay. That's my future events talk for the day. These belong to the Lamb of God. These belong to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world and took away their sin. Okay? And here's the thing. And they follow him wherever he goes. I like that. I do. I'll call them by name. And what are they going to do? They're going to follow me. They're going to follow me. You know? That's it. Anyhow, what I want to speak of is actually in verse 6, and it's just three words. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having, and here's the three words, the everlasting gospel. I like this. I like this. I'm going to start with the first word, the first little word, the word the. Now, here's your English lesson for today. The is what they call a definite article. All right? It's a definite article. And this particular definite article, the word the, all right, it is used in language to make known or to emphasize a singularity. The, okay? It means there's one of whatever it's referencing. Ha! The Christ of God. There's only one. There's only one. Well, wait a minute. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There's only one. There's only one. And here it is. The gospel. The gospel. Now, in the New Testament, because the word gospel I don't think is actually in the Old Testament at all, as far as in the English word. In the New Testament, 104 times is the word gospel used. And it's used in 98 verses, because there's some verses that uses it twice. Now, 86 times in front of the word gospel is the word the. The gospel is in 86 times in 80 verses in the New Testament. You understand what I'm saying here? The vast majority of Scripture referring to the gospel is referring to it singular. Amen. Singular. Walter said it this morning on TV. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. Now here's the thing. What he's saying here in Revelations, and what I want to point out, there's always only been one gospel.
Amen.
Because we are told to preach the gospel. We are told to believe the gospel. And we are told to obey the gospel. There's only one. There's only one gospel. Paul wrote one time that he was set for the defense of the gospel. Now, Jesus Christ sent his disciples out in pairs. Why? To preach the gospel. The gospel. And look at the Apostle Paul. When they went out to preach the gospel, you saw Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Luke, Paul and Timothy, and Paul and Titus. And then you had other divisions along the way. Why? To preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. They went into one place and said, these are those that have turned the world upside down. Now, I do believe that was a slight exaggeration. They're trying to say that Paul and was, I don't know if it was Paul and Silas or Paul and Barnabas at that time. They're trying to say they were troublemakers.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Wherever the gospel is preached, trouble follows.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe in fact, trouble may come looking for you. Because there's one thing I want you to know about the gospel, and I want you to know about the everlasting gospel. We'll get into that in a minute. Here it is. The gospel is the gospel of salvation by grace in Christ Jesus alone. Alone. You understand? I said it a few weeks ago. Christ is all. He's all my righteousness. He's all my sanctification. He's all my wisdom. He's all of my redemption. And if he's not all of yours, you don't know him. Sorry. Jesus doesn't half save you and then you've got to get yourself the rest of the way. He don't 9/10 save you and you've got to provide that one little thing. A preacher where I used to go, that's what he told me. You know? Jesus paid it all except for unbelief. And I looked at him, I told him, I didn't look at him, I was on the phone. I told him, unbelief's a sin. If Jesus Christ didn't pay for it, I'm dead. You're dead. We're all dead. Because one sin will condemn you. But bless God, salvation is by grace. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And the gospel is the gospel of sovereign grace. Ruling grace. A powerful grace in Christ Jesus. And nowhere else. You understand, these men went out. Christ told them, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's what it says. And Walter went into it just a little while ago. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew, to the Greek, to anyone. But only to them that believe. You understand? Only to them that believe. The gospel is important. It's vital. It's necessary. But here's the thing. The gospel doesn't save. Christ saves. And that's the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ saves. From sin, completely. Now, my point here is this is called here the everlasting gospel. And I'm going to tell you something. I looked. I went through my computer program. My sword or whatever it is. I forget. The one actually on my computer, not on my phone. And I went and I looked at every time the word gospel is used in the New Testament. I could find two instances where there's an adjective in front of it. That's all. Two. And one of them, the adjective is not good. Because the only other place, the adjective in front of it, an adjective is just, there's another English lesson, okay. An adjective is a word that modifies a noun.
Yeah,
the everlasting, eternal gospel. Everlasting is an adjective and the gospel is a noun. Okay? There's another place where an adjective is used, but it's not good because where Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel to another gospel. That word another is an adjective. But it's not another. Understand? That's the only other adjective I could find. But this word everlasting is an adjective. Now it comes from a verb. It comes from a noun. There's all kinds of different versions of it. Okay? But here's the thing. The word everlasting means eternal. And even better, I like, for my personal understanding of English, perpetual. I like that word. It's perpetual. Now, the actual definition of it in the Greek, you want to look it up, it says, without beginning, going on now, and without end. That's what this word means. Everlasting. You understand? This is the gospel before the world began. This is the gospel after the world ends. Oh my. This gospel is going absolutely nowhere. It's a fact. Oh, I like that. I do. Without beginning and without end. Matter of fact, this is the same word used in John 3:15 and John 3:16. The same exact word is used, talking about eternal life and everlasting life. This is the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel. The gospel is without beginning. The gospel is without end. Understand, there was not a different gospel in the Old Testament. It's not. You understand? If anyone was saved, the ones that were saved in the Old Testament were saved by Christ. And if they weren't saved by Christ, they aren't saved. And that's just all I can say about it. What is it? The reason the gospel is without beginning and without end is because the gospel is Jesus Christ. He is the good news. And you understand, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Here's what I'm saying. This gospel is the same yesterday and today and forever. Because Christ is the same. The gospel is described in the scriptures in many ways. Now, it's just a description. I looked them up and I counted them. It's called the gospel of Christ 10 separate times. It's called the gospel of God 7 different times, 7 different places. Paul actually calls it my gospel in 3 places. Paul also wrote in 3 places our gospel. Our gospel. I like that. 2 times it's called the gospel of peace. Once it's called the gospel of his dear son. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. I like that too. And in one place, Paul uses it as a reference saying, he preached the gospel of the uncircumcision, while Peter preached the gospel of the circumcision. It's called also, it's also called the gospel of your salvation.
Amen.
I like that one too. I do. I like that one. Now, and 2 times it's called the glorious gospel. Now, you might think that's an adjective, but it's not. It's a noun. If you literally translate it, it would be the glory gospel. Or the gospel of God's glory. I like that. Because the gospel is of the glory of God. The gospel gives glory to God. Why? Because Christ gives glory to God. And the salvation of his people gives glory to God. Ha! Ah. And none of the glory goes to you. None of it goes to me. Now, said all that to say this, Mason. I'll get to it. There's only one gospel. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision. There's only one gospel. It's described in many ways. It has a description there. The gospel of peace. There's only peace through the gospel in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in Jesus Christ is all peace. But there's only one gospel. The everlasting gospel. No matter how it is named, no matter how it's described, the gospel of Christ is singular. And it is an eternal, everlasting, perpetual gospel. One gospel. John 1:1 put it this way. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's good news. That's good news. Now is the Word made flesh, and he walked among us. He walked with us. That's the everlasting gospel. Now, if you want to see it recorded in Genesis, you can look at Genesis 1:1 if you want. And I'll tell you this. The first words recorded as spoken in Genesis 1:1 are this. It's in Genesis 1 and verse 3, excuse me. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, that's the gospel.
Amen.
This book right here starts with God saying, let there be light. And there was light. Now, and there was light before the sun or the moon are created.
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, what? Is the light.
Yeah.
Now, you want to know how this book ends in Revelations? Jesus Christ is the light.
Yeah.
By God, that's good news. That's good news. That's the everlasting gospel. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Oh, I like that. I do. Then in Genesis 3, God himself, Christ himself, tells Adam and Eve of the coming Messiah. He says, the seed of the woman shall come. And that seed of woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Even though the serpent's going to bruise his heel, he's going to bruise the head of that serpent. And he made coats of skin and clothed them both. I'm going to tell you something. God has promised us both the garments of salvation and the robe, singular, of righteousness. His righteousness. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. The Messiah was coming. Oh, I like that. Abraham told Isaac, he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And I love that statement, and you can take that statement any way you want. God gave a ram caught by its horns in a thicket as a substitute for Isaac that day. That day. But God also promised that day the Lamb of God that would come and take away the sin of the world. And God provided him. God promised him. Oh, then God provided him. He came. And he purged, took away all of the sins of his people. That's the everlasting gospel. A virgin gave birth to Emmanuel, God with us. A child was born, oh, but a son was given. It's given. I like that. And I'm going to tell you, the government was on his shoulders. And the government is on his shoulders. And the government always will be on his shoulders. I have to remember that when I complain about our government. I don't sometimes, but I need to. Because I know who's running this place.
Right. Right.
I know him. He's revealed himself to me. The Lord has committed all judgment unto the Son. Unto the Son. And the Lord has given Jesus Christ power over all flesh. All flesh. Why? To give eternal life to as many as the Father gave him.
Amen.
Yeah. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. Because you understand. The world won't understand. But hopefully you understand. I want to understand. If he doesn't give eternal life, we're dead.
Amen.
We're dead. Yes. If he does not give eternal life, you're dead. Oh my. The everlasting gospel is this. Jesus Christ gives life. He has power over all flesh, and he gives life to as many as the Father gave to him. The everlasting gospel. Understand? Paul tells us, I think it's in Galatians, Let me see. Galatians 3. Yeah. And let's see. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. What did I say? There's no different gospel in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. Now, the method of delivery has changed. God has sent forth his preachers now. God sends preachers to people he wants to hear the gospel. And God gives to those people who hear the gospel ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand, or that gospel will not profit them. What did it say? The gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. But it didn't profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them, not that preached it, that heard it. That heard it. But God preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham had the gospel preached to him.
Yeah.
What gospel was it? The everlasting gospel. Yeah. That salvation is in God's hands and not yours.
Right.
And Abraham, now Abraham did get up and get out. And Abraham did many things. But you understand why Abraham did that? Abraham believed God.
Yeah, that's right.
Abraham believed his gospel. Now, believing the gospel may lead you to do a lot of things. But we believe according to the working of his mighty power. Not according to the working up of me in my heart. Not according to the working of some preacher trying to fan a faint spark in my soul or someplace. You understand? We believe through the power of God. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Verse 7 says this, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Fear God, give glory to him, and worship him.